Scotty, we're from Sugar Buzz Magazine and Possess the Blindfold Podcast here with Dragon from the Backyard Babies in London.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Good. For our readers online and on the podcast, just give a brief history, a real brief history of the band.
Well, four guys going on in school together, sharing same kind of music taste.
Cool.
Hanging around, buying albums together, and then finding out one day that why do we buy records, you know, together, why we start a band together.
Perfect.
So we did that, 89, and then we started to play. We weren't really listenable, I guess, until like 91. The first years were. So we actually, everybody started totally from scratch. You know, so it was like, okay, you buy the drum kit, I buy the... And started to do demos and stuff, and we got signed and moved to Stockholm 93.
Okay.
Released Diesel and Power 94. Then started to tour around Europe, and then we went over to America the first time, 97, with Social Distortion.
Okay.
And we got...
you guys were on Sub Pop.
Yeah. And we recorded the album Total 13.
Yeah.
And after that, we recorded, what else? Making Enemies is Good, 2001. Stockholm Syndrome, 2003. And the new People Like People, Like People Like Us. Came out this year.
Great, that's awesome. How's the first shows been going on this tour?
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Good.
Yeah.
Where you guys been so far?
We opened in Oxford. So this is the first leg of the tour. This is running till 15th of January, so this is just the first week. So we did Oxford, we did Dublin, yesterday Manchester, and today London.
Okay, so pretty much in the UK right now.
Yeah.
Alright, cool. How do you guys feel the new record differs from, say, Total 13, Stockholm Syndrome, Making Enemies?
Well, I would say that all our records are different from each other, but you can still hear that's the Babies, you know, in a way.
Absolutely.
And also, but for us, it's kind of weird, you know, since we started, you know, for example, we do one song tonight from the Diesel and Power album, because people, you know, I really like it, but for us it's hard to live with, because we were fucking like, I didn't even like fucking have hair on my cock when I wrote those songs, you know. Not about, you know, we were like 14, 15 when we started out with those riffs, you know.
Cool.
So it's kind of weird to, you know, it's not a band anymore, it's been like a whole fucking grown up thing, and you know, it's 17 years now.
Wow.
So, but the question, the latest album, I think, is the most, how should I say, organic sounding record, you know.
I gotta agree with you on that.
And thinking a bit more about the songwriting, and maybe not, you know, to add 18 guitars in the chorus and make it that fast and big and huge, which I like too, you know. I think that the next record could be totally different, but we felt that we just want to have a band in a room playing and show our skills that we can, you know, put it up. So production wise it's the least channels we ever used, and it's only like two guitars, drums, bass, vocals.
Gotcha.
Yeah, perfect.
How was your guys' last experience in America with Chelsea Smiles and Crush Kelly?
Oh, well, you know, heaven and hell, I would say.
Okay.
You know, it's it's one of those tours, you know, it's like, out of, what could we do, like 50, 60 shows?
Right.
Out of those, maybe 20 was missable and 40 was fucking great, you know.
Okay.
You know, you play Chicago one night, packed, it's great, and then you're in fucking middle of nowhere. Where, you know, that driver couldn't even find the fucking town on the map, you know.
Crazy.
So,
yeah. Are you planning, you guys planning on coming back to the States?
Yeah, that's the next thing after this.
Really?
We're looking probably around February, March next year, so it's soon.
Excellent. Okay, cool. What areas do you guys get the best response in when you guys tour? What locales?
I think it's good, pretty good response everywhere, but you know, not to talk shit, I mean, tonight is going to be great, because England is always a great crowd,
sure.
But it's going to be crowded tomorrow night in Belgium as well, but the Belgian people are not really, it's a bit more like stoners with, you know, it's not that wild, you know.
Yeah.
So I would say in Europe my favorite is probably Finland, England, Spain.
Spain definitely.
Yeah, Spain is loud as fuck, you know. Crazy.
How's Japan for you guys?
Japan is crazy. We were there 2 weeks ago.
Awesome.
But they're very polite.
Right.
You know, like between the song and then fire. It's like, oh my god, did we do something wrong?
That's funny. So Total 13 had a big Social D influence on it.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys toured with Social D in America and Europe. What's that connection like?
I don't know. It's just that they've been an influence to us.
Mike Ness is a big fan of
Backyard
Babies.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, after the first tour we did together in Europe, Social D offered us to come over and play with them in America, which was great for us because we didn't have a deal or anything. And so, more or less, you can say that Mike was the guy that actually fixed us a deal in America, you know, Sub Pop in the first place.
Okay,
So, and then we did another round with them in...
Right, just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Years ago.
Are you guys still currently with Liquor and Poker in the States?
No, yeah, but that's the same. It's under Century Media, the whole thing, but now we're on Abacus.
Abacus, okay.
But it's still the same family. So
gotcha. Okay. How do you compare the rock scene, say, in Sweden compared to the U.S.?
It feels still that in Sweden, for example, a band from Toronto called Danko Jones.
Okay.
And that's, well, I should say like this, in Sweden, you can have a band, even if you not really get signed in the first place, there is still possibilities that you can break a band without having like a major fucking record company behind you. I think in seems like in America it's so business oriented, you know. It's whatever the record company choose to become successful, that's what becomes successful. It's fucking almost impossible to break a band if you don't have the power behind you.
Right.
In Europe, or like Sweden, you can say fuck that to the establishment and anyway inside it. Like, because if people at radio stations in Sweden like a song, they don't really care. In America, it's more like the playlist and whoever gives the money behind fucking... It's a bit more mob-oriented,
it's more convoluted.
Yeah,
definitely. You and Nick seem to be DJing quite a bit. What's up with that?
No, it's just been that, you know, fucking ever since I was, I don't know, 13, starting getting out, having parties, they always call me the DJ Nazi. Because I was always, you know, when we have after show parties or whatever at friend's house, I was the guy sitting in front of the stereo and deciding what, you know, music.
Do you mean DJ Rock, or do you DJ different kinds of music?
You know, it's from fucking Bob Dylan to Slayer.
Cool.
So it's the whole.
Okay.
But it's also fun, you know, because you meet fans in a different way, you know, when you DJ, and also I try to, you know, to present new bands and stuff that I think that our fans hasn't heard, you know, and maybe, if I'm a fan of a guy, I would love to see him fucking, to hear what kind of music H. Really would play if he would, you know, so sometimes some people are like, what, really, you listen to Dolly Parton? Yeah, man, it's fucking great, you know, so it's,
cool. Also, too, on Total 13, you guys...
I'm going to DJ tonight as well, you know?
You are?
Yeah. At the place called Sin.
Oh, after party.
And you got to go?
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Awesome.
Me and Nicky.
On Total 13, you guys did a cover of Faster Pussycat's Babble.
Mm-hmm.
Is Pussycat a big influence for you guys?
Yeah, well, I would say that, you know, like, from the whole L.A. area at that time, we were pretty picky, you know. We were never really into... Tough and all there was a mix, like we were more like the Faster Pussycat, Guns N' Roses, and you know, like early LA Guns,
the whole Cat House
coming
out of 86 or 87. That's cool. Very cool. What was it like to work with Hanoi Rocks frontman Mike Monroe?
Dream come true for us, because they were kind of like a leading star in a way, you know, because mostly our influences and our favorite bands were either English or American.
Okay.
But Hanoi Rocks for us was kind of like a leading star. We were like, You know, if they can do it, we can do it too, you know. Right. They were kind of like the only Scandinavian band that we felt that we could have an identity with, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
As far as like more of a technical question about you, you seem to really like Gibson ES series guitars.
Yeah.
I've seen you play them. Why is that?
Yeah, I always play them.
Is that a big preference of yours, or do you like other stuff?
No, I pretty much only play 335s, and I've done that my whole life, so, and I'm too lazy to
try something else.
Yeah, cool. You know, why, you know, seems like a winning concept.
There you go. Okay, cool. Last question, what does the future hold for the Backyard Babies, say, in the next year or two?
Well, the States, we'll finish up this tour, go on the States, and then we're going to go to South America, and next summer we're going to do, I think, European festivals, / writing new songs. So hopefully, about this time next year, well, let's say we should have a new album out before Christmas next year.
Awesome. Cool. Okay, man, well, it's cool. Good talking to you, and have a great show.
See you on the
tomorrow. Okay. Come on. Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, cool.
Good.